American Catholics are being forced to consider another difficult question. Can they trust their local priests? In Seattle, a child molestation scandal in the late 1980s pushed the archdiocese there to set one of the first formal policies requiring that sexual abuse allegations against priests be reported to the police. Even so, the subject itself was not openly discussed. It wasn't until this latest round of scandals that Seattle Catholics really began talking. Jason DeRose of member station KPLU reports from the parish of St. John the Evangelist.
On a Sunday halfway through the season of Lent, Father Bill McKee gave a sermon that surprised his congregation.
I talked about pedophilia as a mental illness, and that maybe one of the pathways to forgiveness is to acknowledge that it is an illness. At the same time, also acknowledge it's a grave crime and that it needs to be dealt with.
The March 10th sermon shocked parishioners. Father McKee had never mentioned pedophilia from the pulpit before. Since then, members of the 1,100-family parish in this middle-class neighborhood have been discussing how the church-wide scandal is affecting their faith.
Hi, Loretta.
Well, hi, George. Come in.
On a recent evening, Loretta Fletcher invited half a dozen members of St. John's to her living room for peanut butter cookies and a serious conversation. She says in the 62 years she's been a member of this parish, she doesn't remember feeling such an urgent need to talk.
I wouldn't call it a conspiracy of silence, but there was a lot of silence for a lot of reasons. You never said anything bad about a priest, no matter what he did. A good name for everyone was very important, so you never talked about somebody. You know, they were entitled to their good name, and you were not entitled to take it away.
That silence angers George Allen, a lawyer who's been a member of St. John's for about 20 years. But he says he's most upset about the deliberate cover-up in Boston.
The biggest concern for me was that the Archbishop had moved the same priest around without really making sure that the problem couldn't continue.
When I first heard of this, I was a bit disappointed that the faith that I just recently joined would have this issue coming up again.
Robert Zilke is a recent convert to Catholicism. He thought since Seattle dealt with this issue years ago, so had the rest of the church. Angela Sedarius remembers that earlier local scandal, but says what's different about this current one is people are talking, not only adults to each other, but parents to children.
We have four teenage daughters, and it has encouraged a lot of conversation, and they're very active in the church in retreats and summer camps, and so I feel that them being more aware, we're all a little bit safer.
A group of kids play basketball at the parish school. Nearby, some students talk about the scandal. It's a topic of conversation these days.
I think that it's amazing that anybody of the Catholic religion would do that.
John is 13 years old, in the eighth grade, and an altar boy who's attended St. John's his whole life.
It doesn't change the way I think about religion in general or the pastor of our parish, but the priest at different parishes, I'd be a little bit more hesitant.
It really makes me mad because it's hard to trust someone like a priest if they're doing all these things.
That's 15-year-old Gemma. Like John, she says she's rethinking her relationship to priests.
They're supposed to be someone that you can trust them and you go to confession with them.
Gemma says the offending priest should go to jail, but her sister Maya goes a step further.
I think that the archbishop, it's kind of just as bad as what the priest did, so I think he needs to be removed too.
As families at St. John's debate how the current scandals influence their faith, Phil Rather, a seminarian interning at the parish, worries also about the challenges he'll face in his vocation.
In the priesthood, if a man is not taking care of his intimacy needs. Generally, it comes out in other ways as far as alcoholism, workaholism, overeating, but not necessarily taking advantage of children.
Rather reminds himself any institution is only as weak as its secrets, and he says being more open and honest will help the faithful learn to trust their church again. For NPR News, I'm Jason DeRose in Seattle.